Hey, everybody, welcome to the Ran Down Podcast. I am Robin Thede, your host. And today we have a very special guest in the building. Now, this is a young man who, if you've seen any comedy, any music, any underground sorts of just culture going on in New York City, you're probably familiar with him. His name is Mr. John Will. Give it up. Hilarious young man.
Thank you.
A man of many talents. A Renaissance man, really. Truly.
That's an apt description.
Tell the people what you do.
What don't I do?
Exactly. Hello.
Rapper, producer, DJ.
Yep.
Comedian.
Yep.
Writer.
Tell them.
I cook.
Whoa.
Because I have to eat.
Okay.
But I don't cook professionally.
Oh, well. Then it's no fun. That's amazing. Where are you from originally?
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Hey, give it up for Cincinnati. Well. Said no one. All right, so...
I don't live there anymore.
No?
I love Cincinnati, but...
Do you? Know, see, yeah. I'm from Iowa, and I got out as fast as I could. I love the people, but why would I live there?
How long did you stay there before you left?
17 years.
Yeah.
You know, raised there. Got out as soon as I could.
You
went to Chicago.
Quicker than me. I got out of Cincinnati 19 years in.
Ooh, you yeah. did a bid. That's how I feel like black people raised in the Midwest are like, I did my bid, man. I did my time, and now I'm in a city with other minorities. It feels fantastic.
Right.
And you can't wait, too. Like, when you moved to New York City, did you go to the blackest part of the city?
I went to Greensboro first for A&T. I went to North Carolina
right.
A&T
okay.
for college.
So that's black.
It was very black.
Yeah.
It was cultural shock black.
Right.
Like, I had never seen that many black people just sprawled out.
What was that like for you?
It was like going to Disneyland for the first time.
Right.
To be completely. Like,
right, but with better music.
Yeah. The other thing is, like, you know, you see cultural differences. So, like, DC cats wore New Balance and sweats. I was like, what the fuck is happening with
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of cool, though, to
right?
see different black people. And
what were you wearing from Cincinnati when you got to North Carolina?
Well, I was into, like, fashion. Like, I would emulate videos. So, like,
okay.
I was, one day I would look like Nas, the next day I would look like Snoop. It just depended on.
Your fashion was having an East Coast, West Coast battle. Who won?
The East.
Okay. All right. All right. So you gave up on the Chucks and the Dickies?
I still got a few pair in my closet. You know what I'm saying?
You got to keep them in the rotation, just in case. You never know when
keep
some stuff might pop off. That's fantastic. Well, we are so excited to have you here today. I think let's just jump into it. Did you see the rundown last night on BET?
I did.
And great. Moving on.
I did, and I enjoyed it.
Did you? What was your favorite part?
My favorite part was the Game of Homes.
Mm.
Because it's like that's always been on my mind since like what was the hurricane in Louisiana?
Katrina?
Katrina.
Yeah.
Katrina.
Pretty big one.
A huge one.
No, it's crazy, right? Because after Hurricane Katrina, all the black people had to leave. Everybody had to leave. But then only a fraction of those black people were able to come back because white people went in and bought up all the houses in the Bywater area and all these neighborhoods that were historically black for, you know, since post-slavery.
Right.
And then that same thing is starting. We're watching that trend starting to happen in Miami as Miami quickly becomes waterlogged. The lower elevations, Miami Beach, South Beach, and all that, everybody wants to move to these higher elevations where all the black and brown people live. And it's crazy because talking to Valencia Gunder and other folks in Little Haiti, they know it's coming and they see the tide, no pun intended, and they're really helpless to do anything about it because they don't have the kind of money that these right. developers do. What do you think about that? Like, is it frustrating to you or are you kind of optimistic that there's people who can kind of fight it?
It's more frustrating than anything.
Yeah.
Like, even within my own neighborhood, like, I live in the middle of Bed-Stuy, and a CrossFit just opened up. And I'm just like, oh, they're here.
There it is.
They're here.
They've been in Bed-Stuy. You know, it's yeah. crazy because you think about Bed-Stuy. And, like, whenever I meet a white person, and I'm like, oh, where do you live? And they're like, Brooklyn. I'm like, oh, okay, where? And they're like, Bed-Stuy. I'm like, how? Like, I think of Biggie. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I think of, like, Biggie's from Bed-Stuy, right?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Where's Nas from? Oh, he's from Queens.
Queens. ODB was from Bed-Stuy, too.
See? The realness.
Jay-Z.
So, right? It's crazy to me that these neighborhoods are so entrenched in black history are, you know, gentrified by folks who who really kind of erase it when they come in. And right. just because you put up a plaque that was like, yeah, here was, you know, here's where black people used to live. It doesn't honor the people who are living there.
Yeah, not at all. It actually does them a disservice in a way because.
Yeah, it kicks them out of their homes.
And a lot of the businesses that open up don't necessarily open up for the community that exists.
That's right.
They open up for the community that's coming. So
that's right.
They're just a couple of my friends on Facebook. We like to share businesses that don't like black people in them. Like, so to don't frequent this. Yeah. Don't go to this place.
Don't go to this place. Yeah. That should be a website.
It should be.
Don't go there, y'all. .com. Trademark patent pending.
buy that domain.
Mm-hmm. Buy that by the end of the podcast before this airs. Don't go there, y'all. That's a really useful website. You know, it's crazy to me that our money, it's like people will forego getting money from us to hold on to their racism. That's so weird to me.
But, you know, they don't have a problem borrowing our stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They'll repack.
Jay-Z pumping in the store, but don't want to serve you. It's like my money spends like everybody else's money. I feel like when it comes to business, like your racism should just be put on the back burner if you want to have a successful business. Because guess what? Black people spend money. We don't save shit. We spend all our money.
Yeah, this is true.
We are a consumer culture. No, we do save. But that's a good point because Black Friday is next Friday. And there's two movements in the black community. One is Boycott Friday, so we don't spend our dollars on Black Friday. The other is Shop Black Friday, you know, so you go to black-owned stores and businesses.
Yeah.
Do you support either of those?
I wasn't aware of them.
Right? That's the problem.
But now I do.
There you go.
I honestly don't really shop on Black Friday to begin with. Like I do.
Why, you don't like to get up at 2 in the morning and look for blenders?
Yeah, not really.
That's weird. It's weird. I pegged you for that guy. Not good at reading people.
My sister tries to drag me to Target every Thanksgiving. On like Black
and
Friday.
And what is she looking for?
Just whatever the what are they, deal busters?
Yeah, whatever the door busters
whatever
are.
Whatever they're selling, she's buying it.
Which are always bait and switch because they only have two of those big screen TVs for $58.
And if you're willing to stampede for two TVs.
Yo, people get killed every Black Friday.
I've got a good business idea though.
Okay.
If you sell like a Thanksgiving dinner outside of Target on like Black Friday, because you know people like they go shopping.
Right.
They just veto dinner, just go shopping.
Right.
You just sell them to dinner.
Oh, if they're shopping on actual Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah.
Right, because some of the stores are open on Thanksgiving.
Yep.
That's so messed up for people who have to work. Did you ever have a messed up job where you had to work on a holiday?
No. Not that I can remember. I mean, I've had a couple of crappy jobs, but not one that I remember working on a holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I worked at a jewelry store that made me work on Christmas Eve. Because that's a big time for jewelry stores.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is BS. Why are we open until midnight on Christmas Eve? But it's because all these dudes come rushing in at 11:30 on Christmas Eve. And they're
guilty.
Like, I gotta get something.
I'm guilty of that.
Yeah, that's their big season. But I never worked anywhere that was open on Christmas or New Year's. I always think about people in the medical profession.
Yeah,
you know, because they gotta work. Nurses, doctors, all those sorts of people.
24 hours. They're on all
I know.
The time.
Like, do you have to break your leg on Christmas? Yes. I got a new bike and I wanted to try it.
That's on the ice.
That's how I broke my collarbone on Christmas.
On a bike?
On a sled. And I sled into, I was 13. So I had three sisters. We got a sled and we lived in a trailer park. We didn't have no money. So my parents got us a plastic sled, like the kind you buy in the grocery checkout line. Like, you know what I mean? Just like a round disc of plastic.
The unsafe one.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, clearly. No handles.
Did it have a string?
No, nothing.
Oh, God.
You just hold on to
it. It was like a garbage can lid, basically.
Correct. That's exactly right. So we get on this flying UFO of death and there's one hill in the trailer park and at the bottom of that hill, there's one telephone pole.
You aimed directly for
it. So I didn't aim for it, but I grabbed the sled. My sisters and I were fighting at the top of the hill, and I was like, I want to do it first. I want to do it first. And we were fighting over the sled. I got it and was like, and I'm going down backwards. And so, so I get on it, go down backwards. And I do not think I'm heading for the pole, because why would I didn't aim for it. But God said, you going to steal the sled? You're going to go right into the pole. So right before I hit it, my sister goes, look out. And I turn my head and my shoulder hit it instead of the top of my head.
Well, at least you didn't get a concussion.
Oh, no, I probably would have been dead. I snapped my collarbone in half.
Oh, wow.
Like out of my shoulder.
God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I probably would have been dead. My sister saved my life, even though I was being a brat.
Yeah, I've never broke a bone.
Never.
Never.
Oh,
I've
broken
bone.
Tons.
I mean, well, I think
roughhouse.
I think I broke my thumb once. But
yeah, in a thumb wrestle. That went wrong? One
of my only adult fights.
You said that as if you fought every day as a child.
No, I mean, well, one of my only fights. I've never really gotten into a bunch of fights.
Okay. So how did this fight happen?
A friend of mine, drunk, outside of a party.
That's how they all start. Yeah.
We were in a parking garage, and like it was like a squad of people met up to fight.
I'm sorry. Was this Beat It? Were you in the music video?
It was the live action.
It
was
Bad. I'm sorry. It was Bad.
Yeah, it was the real life version of Bad.
You were in Bad.
I was just
Jackson had so many dance fights.
He did.
You know what it was? I don't think it was Beat It or Bad. I think I'm thinking of the scene in The Wiz when the garbage cans come to life. Was that the subway? Or was that a parking garage?
I'm so
confused. Does Michael Jackson fight in the weirdest places? All right, I just lost all my black cards.
He's everywhere. Everywhere is Neverland. Neverland for him.
They don't really care about us.
They don't. Good one. That was a good.
It's just human nature, guys. You know, whether you're black or white, it doesn't matter.
It makes me want to scream.
You know, same. Because it's, we could do this all day. Oh, speaking of thrillers, Roy Moore is
what a segue.
Candidate for Alabama Senate. For or against?
Very against.
Yeah.
Very against.
Yeah, that dude's an asshole. Let me tell you something. I don't even need to talk about Roy Moore. When we were doing this show last night, we were putting the show together this week, Wednesday night, we could not figure out which sexual predators to talk about because we didn't have enough time. And then the Al Franken thing broke the day, like an hour before we were about to tape. So we were like, well, can we get, the facts were still unclear. So we just didn't have time. But I don't want the people to think that I don't care. I care about Louis C.K. I care about Al Franken. I care about Harvey Weinstein. Like, I care about all these assholes. But at the end of the day, it just felt like Roy Moore was somebody we needed to focus on because there's a lot of black voters in Alabama who need to know, you know, what this guy is doing.
And it's one of those things where I don't understand how, even if you're like, I'm only voting Republican, I don't understand how you could vote for that. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
I just don't understand how that's even defensible in any way, shape, or form.
I don't either. And I feel like there's just such a wave now of people, every day, new people are getting accused of things that they've done. And I think that, I don't know, do you think that this wave will change kind of workplace behavior and politics behavior? Or do you think it'll go back to the status quo?
I hope it'll change workplace behavior. I think that having the language to describe sexual harassment and describe like what's going on is a big part in like helping change the tide of it. You know what I'm saying? Or just like the awareness is one thing, but like when you're inundated by the stories, you have to sort of like read a couple of them and you start to get the language and start to figure out what the behaviors are. And as a man, you know, like in talking to other men, it's, you know, like some of them
don't know.
Yeah.
They're some like, of us. I didn't know I couldn't do that.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And it's just like, no, you can't do that. And then even just down to explaining, if you can't pin like a proper term to what the behavior is, it's hard to tell people what they're doing wrong.
Right. And I think at the end of the day, the main rule that I tell guys when they're like, well, what? I can't even compliment a woman on her dress or whatever. And I'm like, here's the thing. Ask the woman. Say, you know.
Right.
Is it okay if I give you a compliment? If you're not comfortable with it, then, you know, whatever. And that may feel weird, but until we figure out what the new rules are, then, you know, that's the kind of way you have to go. We have to be a little more careful about it. I think, you know, it's funny. I can imagine that these same conversations happened when black people, like, got the right to vote. You know what I mean? That people are like, well, now that there's no colored water fountains, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to interact with black people at the water fountain? We're just, am I supposed to get out the way when they want to drink? Like, how's this going to work? You know, and I feel like this is a sexual revolution in this way and a real women's rights revolution in this way and men's rights. Men are getting abused and assaulted too. And I'm so happy that people like Terry Crews and all these actors and stuff are leading the way and coming out and saying, no, that same crap happened to me. It's not okay.
Yeah, there's so much shame and so much like secrecy around sex in general.
I think the general rule too is also, I think a lot of men, present company excluded, of course. I think a lot of men, just talk about sex and then until somebody says, hey, that's not okay. Like explicit sex. You know what I mean? Like I've been in workplaces where men make really explicit, we'll have long conversations. We'll literally ask people and be like, hey, well, when was the first time you had sex? Or just something that's super inappropriate to ask at work. And they'll just ask until somebody says, hey, I don't want to have this conversation. And then they go, oh, well, all you had to do was tell me.
And that sort of thing is rampant in music too. It's music is... Like, from the lyrics to just, like,
I think music is the worst. Hollywood is bad. It's really bad. But yeah. I think you're right. Music is really bad.
It's crazy. I mean, like, R. Kelly in general. You know what I'm saying? But, like...
Never heard of him.
No fly zone.
Hello.
But it's to the point where at DJ gigs, I won't play R. Kelly. I'll get offended if people request it.
Yeah.
Like, I had one gig. A friend of mine was... I was DJing with a friend of mine. He was like, you know how to set this party off? That Ignition. I was like, I'm not playing that. You can play it if you want to. I'm not...
Right. Because we can't continue to support people who do this stuff.
Right. But, like, even in terms of just, like, the studio setting or just the green room, there are a lot of situations where it's just largely male.
Yes.
And when conversations come up about women or about sex, it's typically not, like, if a woman was around, she would be like, what the fuck? What's going on here? What are y'all talking about?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. And why does the woman have to be the one to say it? So that's why I think it's dope that other men are stepping up saying, hey, guys, like, we got to be better.
Yeah.
You know, and it happens every era. Like I said, it happened after the civil rights. You know what happened? When marriage equality happened, when trans people started coming out and talking about their experiences, like we have to learn, like you said, the new set of rules and the new set of phrases.
Right.
And that's just part of it. I think it's kind of fun.
And also, for me, it's like just listen to women. You know what I'm saying? Like,
because hello.
In a lot of ways, like a lot of my favorite.
Because these women have been saying these things.
Right.
Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, R. Kelly. Like women have been saying it for years and we're just now listening. You're right.
And that's a lot of the stuff that I do know is it comes from just reading what women say, listening to women, and just kind of like not parroting, but you know what I'm saying? Like just
you
reiterating
can,
the information
just
to the best
of my ability.
Literally repeating
what a woman said, because
it's like a signal boost.
All right, Don Will, I'm gonna talk to you about Cousin Don, as I like to call you.
Hey.
Some of the stuff that got cut last night. So Jeff Sessions' ass, Jeff Beauregard Sessions, was
Beauregard.
It's like his name never got out of slavery.
His name's like it's like antebellum furniture.
Antebellum furniture. That's what he is.
Shiverobe Beauregard.
Yeah, Shiverobe. Yes. So he testified about Russia. Well, he didn't testify. He was in a hearing about Russia this week and just continued to be useless and lie. What's wrong with Jeff Sessions?
Jeff Sessions is he's a special kind of racist.
Yeah.
Like he's
like old school.
Yeah. Like where it was okay and acceptable, and like he doesn't understand why he can't call us like Negroes or something.
Yes,
I don't know.
Correct.
He doesn't understand what to call black people in general. He just knows that white is right and white is right.
Yeah. Even the governor who said George Wallace, right, who said segregation now, segregation forever, came out before he passed away and said, I was wrong. I shouldn't have been so racist.
Okay.
You think Jeff Sessions will do that on his deathbed?
Absolutely not.
You're right about that.
I think Jeff Sessions is comfy in his racism.
It's like a snuggie.
Yeah.
And now that the weather's turning colder, what keeps you warm more than your own racism?
Extra racism.
We also cut a story about there was a school where they had a they had a school project about slavery, and the teacher challenged them to give a creative presentation.
This will go bad.
Yeah, it went bad. So the kids got up and sang, "Old McDonald had a slave, E-I-E-I-O, with a whip whip here and a whip whip there, here a whip there, a whip everywhere, a whip." I kid you not. Look it up. We cut the story for time, but I wanted to do it because it is so crazy. And there's a black woman, black student, black girl who recorded it and talked to the news station and was like, hey, I don't think this was right. And the teacher condoned it.
Where was this at?
I don't know. Some high school. We'll find out. What city was it in? We'll find out.
I'm just trying to figure out where in America. Well, I guess several places
matter?
In America.
Yeah, so many. Just America in general. I think it was America High School.
In Anytown, USA?
Anytown, USA. Or was it in Renton, Washington? I think it was in Renton. And I have black friends who grew up there, actually.
I've heard Seattle is pretty racist at times.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard Portland was racist.
Yes.
Hey, you know where else
I love
is racist?
Portland, but yes.
Boston. You know where else is racist? All the cities.
Cincinnati.
We just name them. We just keep naming.
Right.
What city is not racist? What city do you think is the least racist city in America?
I mean, what neighborhoods and what cities are the least racist? I can
tell
you.
You got to pick one city and say it's the least racist. I have my guess.
That's a tough one. Shit, I don't know.
All right. I'm going to give you mine, but I'm cheating. It's Toronto.
Toronto?
It's not America.
I was thinking about America. Okay.
I know. I cheated because I couldn't think of an American city.
I was going to say New York seems like it's not really.
You know what? I would go with that. I would go with New York just because it's so diverse that the racism gets watered down.
Racism gets watered down by classism, yeah.
Correct. Yes. No one cares your race in New York City. They just care how much money you got.
Right. You can be a millionaire sitting next to a homeless person on the train. It does not matter. It
doesn't matter.
You just got to get to where you're going.
That's right. Do you ever see famous people on the train in New York?
No, because I don't really take the train.
Oh, you bougie?
I bike.
Oh, you bike.
I'm
okay, so you into fitness.
I'm into cheapness.
Okay.
I'm also into like being able to time my commute down to like the
Yeah, mid. And a like, bike, you can go anywhere.
Yeah.
Have you ever run into somebody?
I have actually.
Oh my God. What happened? Are they okay?
They were fine. It was at a park party, like a block party thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just wasn't paying attention, looking at the sidewalk.
You
and
plowed into a whole party?
I plowed into the back of some dude's Camry.
It was a
young black guy with his daughter in the back seat. Yeah. He got on. Like, what the fuck you doing, man?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, my bad, bro. Your bumper's not even messed up. It was a bike. He looked at his bumper and looked at me. He was like, man, you got to be more careful, G. And wear a helmet and got in his car.
Oh, that's nice. He was concerned about your safety.
If his daughter wasn't in the back seat, it might have been my second adult fight.
It might have been. Did you win your first one, by the way?
It was just one
when
punch.
You messed your thumb up?
It was more of a sucker
punch. One
punch
and you broke your thumb?
I didn't know how to throw a punch correctly. You're supposed to have your
Tuck
thumb
your thumb,
out.
Son.
You're supposed to have it like I had it.
Right. Oh, you had it on the inside.
Yeah.
But you got to tuck it, but like keep it on the outside, right? Because otherwise you'll separate the.
When was your last adult fight?
Yesterday.
fighting the patriarchy.
Fighting a man. One other story we cut yesterday was about this bank robber who put on blackface and went in and tried to rob a bank.
I don't understand how that would even be a good disguise.
It wasn't. He literally went and bought up all the Fenty that all the brown girls are trying to buy. Slathered it on his face and looked like a ridiculous monster. And then the idiot didn't get any money. They were like, yeah, no, good.
He got refused a home loan, basically.
Basically. It's like, yeah, dude, when you put on blackface, you get treated like a black person. You don't get shit. He's lucky he didn't get beat by the cops or shot by the cops. It's not a well-thought-out disguise.
At all.
All right, let's talk about some of the tweets we got last night. We get a lot of love on social media for this show. Somebody we featured in Act 4 who I adore was Lonnie Love. Last night we used her hilarious reaction to the story about the black people, meeting black people group.
Her reaction was perfect.
Her reaction was so perfect. And she tweeted at us and said, LOL at Robin Thede, congrats on the rundown. And then she also posted on Instagram that it was hilarious. So, you know, we love her. Shout out to Lonnie Love. Always keeping it real, on the real.
That image is iconic.
It's iconic. You know who else is iconic? Maxwell. Give it up for Maxwell.
He's
that
from Brooklyn.
Dude, yo, he's so awesome. Like, we were like, hey, do you want to do a sketch with us? And he was like, yep. And showed up, and I was like, you're going to have to wear a pink bathrobe. And he was like, okay. I'm sure he wasn't happy about it, but he was such a good sport, and he was so kind. And he's very funny.
Really?
Yeah, we saw him in the sketch. Didn't you think he was funny?
I did, but yeah. He seems so serious all the time.
He's... I would say he's definitely like really smart and really like thoughtful, but he's very funny.
All I know is that he can sing really well and women love him. I didn't know he was.
Those
like,
are the only two things
guy.
You need to know. He was fantastic. Just want to give him a shout out. He also tweeted at us about the reparation sketch. Shout out to Maxwell. And then, you know, at the end of the day, we also got some tweets from our fans saying things like at Jasmine Ellis Comedy said, I went from thinking this was a horrible idea to being like, yes, girl, get you all your socially awkward money about the meet a black person idea, which is the same thing I did. I was like, well, what white person came up with this idea to meet a black person? And then, you know, that spit take was like, that was really my real reaction when I was listening to the story when my writers were pitching it. I was like, oh, okay. So some white person created a group where they can find some black person to meet with and talk to them about being black. This is crazy. And then they showed me the piece of tape and I was like, it's a black woman.
I had the same reaction.
I love it. Isn't that messed up? Why do we do that? Why are we such hypocrites?
Got to support black. You know what I'm saying? You got to support it.
And I guess the intention is different, right? If a black person does it, it's like, okay, well, then they're trying to be open and inviting people in. But if a white person does it, it feels like voyeurism.
Right. Unless you're Chrisette Michelle.
Yo.
Then.
How is she? Is she okay? Sis, are you okay?
You know, part of me feels bad for like her creating this situation for herself and how she's dealing with it. Like, she's probably super depressed. But
I know
another part of me is like, this is Trump. Like, why would you?
I know. Why? She did make a bad decision. But I think, though, that she's kind of making amends. It feels like she's going around kind of doing an apology tour and saying, look, I realized it was messed up.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to talk a little bit. You have a show with a friend of mine, Wyatt Cenac, called Shouting at the Screen.
I do.
I would love for you to share what that show is about with our audience.
So it's basically like Mystery Science Theater 3000. For people who don't know what that is, we just watch classic blaxploitation films, and we do like a running color commentary over it and play drinking games.
Color commentary. I get it.
Colored commentary.
Oh, colored. Even better. Great. Jeff Sessions would appreciate it.
He would love it. Yeah. He would love it. But we did one last night.
How did it go? What movie did you watch?
Truck Turner.
Very good. Truck Turner.
With Isaac Hayes.
Isaac Hayes, who did a lot of these movies, right?
Yeah, and Uhuru.
Yeah.
From it was her. It was like her.
Oh, Nichelle Nichols.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was one of her first things she did after Star Trek.
Very good.
So.
Wow, that was her follow-up to Star Trek? Work was hard to come by back then, man. Although, now I am not dissing blaxploitation movies because they are some of our finest films. I just wonder why they start with one plot and end up with another.
They always do.
They always do.
So what usually happens is they'll run out of money somewhere in production. And they'll just have to either like make these huge plot holes or just end the movie.
Yeah.
Like, they literally have to end the movie.
They literally end the movie and start another one.
Yeah.
It's very weird. But they're fantastic.
Like in Truck Turner, his
what
side.
What happens in Truck Turner?
So it's about a bail bondsman who's going after this pimp.
Yeah.
And
which one is Isaac Hayes?
Isaac Hayes is the bail bondsman.
Okay, he's the hero. Okay.
Yeah. And his partner gets killed in the movie, but they literally just, by the, like, nobody mentions it. He's a substantial character for 2/3 of the film. He dies, and then nobody, like, not even a tear. It's so bad.
How does he win in the end against the pimp?
It's a very long, drawn-out death scene.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's one of those, he gets shot, and for 5 minutes, he's, like, crawling and dying and shit. They flip into a Spike Lee single camera montage.
Oh.
And the camera's locked on him. It's
wow.
It's amazing.
All right, so do you rate these movies at the end?
No,
maybe
I mean
like 2 Afro picks up.
We probably should, but I mean,
yeah, you should.
All of them are generally 1 to 2 Afro picks. So.
Yeah, out of like 5.
Yeah, out
okay.
of like 5. Which is a compliment, you know, because they're campy now. You
they're
know what
super
saying?
Campy.
Yeah.
Now, what is in all the blaxploitation movies you've seen? Which one is so bad it's good?
Abby. Abby's, you know Abby?
Yeah. Brian knows Abby.
It's the Black Exorcist.
Yeah.
And it follows the plot line so closely they got sued by the Exorcist.
I've definitely heard of Abby. I don't think I've ever seen it.
But so she's possessed by like an African sex demon?
Yep, makes sense. Yep.
And
where does it get weird? I'm following.
The entire film.
Is she a grown-up, though? Please say she's a grown-up.
She's a grown-up.
Okay,
a grown-up.
It's not a child.
Yeah, no,
okay.
No.
And then what happens? Who, they exorcise the demon?
They do end up exorcising the demon.
Is there a priest?
There's a priest. There's a concerned mother. There's a husband.
Uh-huh.
And
Black love.
Black love. And okay. he sticks with her through the whole thing.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? He stands by her.
You said this was so bad it's good. It just sounds good to me.
It's pretty good.
It sounds like a good family movie.
It's pretty good at being bad.
Okay. We have a blue wall on our set. I don't know if you've noticed it. It's the wall of monitors that I usually do X like 2 and 3 from.
Yeah.
Behind it, there are 200 and some images of famous Black people who mean something to me and who mean something to all of us, really. So we like to play a little game. Guess who's on the wall? So I'm going to ask you some names of famous Black people. Now, keep in mind, they can be Black people from politics, music, history, literature, science, comedy, anything, right? And you tell me if you think they're on the wall. All right, here we go. Shonda Rhimes.
She's definitely on the wall.
Got it. Ding, ding, ding. Basquiat.
Yes.
We had a really funny Basquiat joke last night that made me laugh. This woman made a piece of art for Meek Mill, and she said, he's a jack in the box because they keep putting him back in the box. And we were like, yeah, girl, but don't put all your eggs in one Basquiat because he's not getting pardoned. It's a great joke.
It was pretty funny.
Great joke.
I
Thank
laughed.
You. Thank you. I feel like upon second viewing, people will appreciate how many jokes are in the rundown.
There's so many.
Every line is a joke.
And they're so good.
Thank you. It's very rare that I speak a line that does not have a joke in it. And that we wanted it to, I want people to be able to watch it a second time and be like, I didn't catch half of those jokes.
And some of the jokes are so like, you have to be very black to understand.
Yes. Isn't that the best?
That's my favorite part of the show.
Yes.
Like it feels like, I don't want this to sound bad, but it feels wrong. Like, how are they doing this?
Like, I know.
How are they allowed to do this?
Yes. Every week I go, I can't believe they let us do this.
Yeah. It feels like a show where you just don't have to code switch at all. You
right.
can just
correct.
Say you can say what you mean and say it how you mean it. You know
yes.
what I'm saying? Like people who pick it up will, but like there's all you can always get the surface meaning, but if you can catch those little ones.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the way that our jokes work too, we work really hard to make jokes that like even if you don't get the reference, you'll still laugh.
Right.
So like I did a joke last night about saying that Governor Rick Snyder in Michigan about Flint's water problem had been more sneaky about or had lied more than Kenya Moore about her mystery husband. And which even if you don't know who Kenya Moore is or the fact that she married a man that may or may not exist, I think it's really funny because it's anybody having a mystery
right.
husband is funny.
Like I don't watch the show that she's on, but
right.
I know enough about her to know that she would probably have a mystery
Correct.
Husband.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. All right. Speaking of which, all right, is Kenya Moore on the wall?
No.
You're right about that. Erykah Badu.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure she is. Yes, Erykah Badu is on the wall in a head wrap.
Got to have some Badu on the wall.
Badu is them. Shirley Chisholm.
Yes.
No, I can't stand her. Just kidding. She's on the wall.
I was
Wouldn't
like, what?
Wouldn't that be funny if I had a vendetta against Shirley Chisholm? Why? Why would I be so mad at her? Anybody else? You want to guess? You have a black hero in comedy. Who's your black hero in comedy? Besides
Eddie
me. Eddie Murphy.
Eddie
yes,
Murphy.
He's on the wall. Who's your black hero in music?
Kanye West.
Kanye's up there.
Love some
yep,
Kanye.
Kanye's up there. Kanye's up there. I think Kanye's done a lot for rap that people will realize in hindsight and they'll forget about all this Taylor Swift drama.
Yeah.
You think Kanye is going to come back stronger? I think he will.
I think he is.
When? When do you think Kanye is coming back?
I think 2019 is Yeezy season again.
Yeah, that's Yeezy yeah. season. What about 2020? Remember he said he was going to run for president? That doesn't sound so crazy now.
It doesn't.
I'd vote for Kanye.
I would register in several states to vote for Kanye.
It's crazy, man. I just feel like we got to get Trump out of here. I have a sneaking suspicion he'll be in office for two terms.
I think so, too.
Because America, right?
Yeah.
I know, grown
yeah.
all you want, but he's there now. Crazier things have happened.
And even though his rating is super low, people are still, like the people who cling to him are still clinging hard.
And that's the thing. The racists dig into their racism. They're yeah. like, you're not going to call me racist. And that's all fake news.
And fake news is that thing. It's like a banner. It's a catch-all thing where you
yeah.
can call anything fake news.
Right. Well, look, you have been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me this Friday morning. Give it up for Don Will, everybody.
Thank you for having me.
Now, tell me, I know your group just released an album. Why don't you plug that up so everybody can go get it?
We did. The album is called You Get What You Pay For, but it's spelled YGWY $4 because we don't like being search engine optimized.
Okay. And the name of your group is?
Tanya Morgan.
Tanya Morgan. Who's Tanya Morgan?
Tanya Morgan is me and Von P. It's two dudes, and we just took a woman's name because why not?
Why not? Hashtag
listen to,
why not?
Listen to women.
Listen to women and listen to this album. Shouting at the Screen is also once a month at the Alamo Draft House in downtown Brooklyn. So go check that out. Shout out to Wyatt Cenac. And follow him on Twitter at Don Will, DONWILL. And then, guys, you know, as always, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching the show. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, at The Rundown, BET. And, you know, check us out on Facebook. You can write even more there. And you'll get exclusive sneaks, behind the scenes, sneak peeks, whatever they're called. Sneaks and peeks. All that good stuff, you guys. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much for making this show what it is. It's only going to keep getting better. So why don't you just keep watching? That's all for The Rundown. Have a good week.